Lifetime Pictures presents Secrets of a Gold Digger Killer. At night, buildings illuminate the Austin skyline. Based on true events, a hooded figure with a shotgun sneaks across the driveway of a sprawling mansion. It steps over a hedge and walks across the grounds toward the house. The figure opens a door leading into a bedroom. An older man with a goatee sleeps alone in bed. The figure creeps across the room and aims the gun at the man. He shoots the man in the abdomen and leaves. The victim reaches for a phone on the bedside table. His hand is covered in blood.
911, what's your emergency?
I'm leaving.
Okay, sir. Can you tell me what happened?
I don't know. My guts jumped out of my stomach. Hurry. I'm in pain.
Are you there by yourself?
My wife's somewhere in the house.
Help is on the way, sir. Stay with me.
The paramedic enters the bedroom.
Are you still with me?
He opens the front door for another paramedic. A blonde-haired woman and a teen girl run downstairs.
Bedroom, straight that way.
What's going on? Who are you?
Austin EMT, ma'am. Are you Mrs. Beard?
Yes. What happened? Where's Steve?
Mr. Beard has had a medical emergency. He called 911. He's lost a lot of blood.
Oh, no, not my Steve. Let me see him.
Has your husband had surgery recently?
No. He's never sick. He's gonna be all right, isn't he? Because he has to be. He's my whole life.
Austin, Texas, 4 years earlier. In a restaurant, the woman serves Steve a drink.
Here you go, sugar. Vodka ton with a twist of lime.
I didn't even order yet.
Oh, I saw you put in your dinner order, so I had your drink made. Unless you're not drinking tonight, Mr. Beard.
Now, Celeste, we both know I'm going to drink that. And then I'm going to order another one.
When your prime rib arrives.
I guess I'm a creature of habit.
Did you go to the cemetery again today?
It's only been a few weeks since Elise passed. But I can't seem to figure out what to do without her.
Well, do what I do and go shopping. It always makes me feel better. Yeah, I woke up this morning and I was feeling a little glum. And then I went and I got myself this.
She shows off a necklace.
And now I feel like $1 million. You know, I'll take you next time. Get you a new blazer. A man like you should not be repeating your outfit.
My wife bought me this blazer.
Oh, there I go, put my foot in my mouth again.
No, I like it. You speak your mind. Why do you think I keep finishing my days here? You make an old man happy, Celeste.
Well, Mr. Beard, you say that to all the ladies.
No, I don't. There's something special about you.
You ready for another one?
Yes, please.
You better tip me better this time. None of that 10% crap. I'm a single mother.
Celeste takes Steve's empty glass to the bar.
Another vodka tonic, please?
Want it stiff?
Oh, hon, I always want it stiff.
So what's the plan? I'm just gonna flirt with all these guys until one of them takes you home.
No, I can get any one of them to take me home, but that doesn't pay my bills or get my girls new clothes. No, I'm waiting for a shot at a better life. And right now, that shot is over there. Waiting for his vodka and prime rib. Thank you.
Celeste returns to Steve's table with the fresh drink.
When are you going to have dinner with me, Celeste?
Whenever you want.
How about tonight?
Here?
Of course not. I'm talking about something that isn't sitting under a heating lamp.
Sounds good to me. Just give me a sec.
She returns to the bar and takes off her vest.
Night, Stacy.
You can't leave. You still have 2 hours left on the clock.
Hmm? Yeah, well, can't miss my shot. Oh, and cancel the prime rib over on table 12.
Stacy stares with an open mouth as Celeste walks over to Steve.
How do you feel about steak?
Sounds great, especially in good company.
I'm gonna make sure you get the best damn steak dinner you've ever had.
I'm all for women's lib, but I do love a man who knows how to take care of it.
In an apartment, Celeste opens a fridge while her daughter does homework.
Mama's moving up in the world.
Did you get a promotion?
Oh, I won't be needing that job much longer.
Did you get fired?
Wow. You're just like your sister, always thinking the worst. Where is she, by the way? She sleep? What, she sleeping over at David's again? Are they having sex? Remind me to make sure she's on the pill.
Mom! Oh my
God. What? When you get a boyfriend of your own, you're gonna want to come and talk to me. Mama's got a thing or two she could teach you.
Can we talk about something else? What happened to your job?
Well, I guess we could tell Jennifer the good news tomorrow, but your mama met a man, and things are about to get a lot better around here. Just you wait. Mama has a plan.
Steve and Celeste enter the mansion.
Here we are.
Wow. Steve, what a place. Why'd you wait a month to show it off?
A chef stands by a long dinner table.
Is that our dinner in there?
I thought I'd have the restaurant come to us tonight.
Well, you certainly know how to pull out all the stops.
Steve escorts Celeste into the dining room and pulls out her chair.
I just sold my TV station for a hell of a lot. And with the lease gone, I've got nothing but money, time, and nobody to spend it on except you.
Steve takes a seat at the opposite end of the table.
Cheers.
Cheers.
They lock eyes as they sip their drinks. Later, Celeste looks around the living room.
Why don't you take some of that money and redecorate around here? I mean, no offense, but this place is more like a museum than a home.
Louise put a lot of thought into all of this.
Well, I mean, I'm sure she did. 25 years ago. Come on, Steve. You're more fun than all this beige and velour.
You're a lot feistier than most women around here. They're all worried about blending in.
Not me, sugar. Mm-mm. No, I was born to stand out.
Here's to standing out.
Celeste sits on a sofa and strokes the fabric.
Well, you know, a girl could get used to luxury like this.
You deserve luxury like this, Celeste.
Oh, no, not me. I mean, I don't need all these bells and whistles. But my girls, oh, they deserve so much more. They haven't had the easiest life.
Steve sits down beside her.
I miss having someone to take care of. And it gets lonely here by myself. Why don't y'all move in?
Stephen Beard. We've been dating for a month. What will people say?
Screw them. I'm old enough to know that worrying what people think is a waste of time.
You know I agree with that, but I'm a respectable woman. I don't know.
What if I hired you? As a house manager. You and your daughters could sleep in your own wing, and I could keep you close and take care of you.
House manager? Oh, Steve. If I slept under the same roof as you, I don't think I could trust myself.
From what?
From wanting to sleep next to you.
She puts her hand on his knee.
Move in with me, Celeste.
He kisses her hand.
Job.
Celeste returns to the apartment.
You're ready. Our new life is waiting.
A young woman with curly hair turns.
Did you go shopping while we packed up the apartment?
Well, you know shopping keeps me sane. Come on, here. We're moving across town. We have to look the part.
Celeste's teen daughter pulls out a purse from a shopping bag.
Mama, this is beautiful.
Whoa, is this for real?
The older daughter checks the price tag.
Nuh-uh. You make us drink milk after its expiration date to save money. There's no way we can afford these.
We can't. But Steve's gold card can.
He lets you use his card?
Told you. He wants all three of us to be happy. And we deserve that, don't we?
You know, this is nice and all, but still seems a little soon for us to just move into his house without even meeting the guy. What if we hate him?
Jennifer, why do you always have to see a problem? Why can't you just do what I ask, like your sister?
I don't know, Celeste. When are you gonna stop treating Christina like a personal slave?
I told you to stop calling me Celeste. Now, besides, the house is huge. Right? We're gonna have our own wing.
Outside the mansion, Celeste drives a sedan into the gated driveway. First, Christina and Jennifer stare at the house. Rest of your life.
Here.
Celeste exits the car, opens the trunk, and unpacks luggage.
Whoa.
This place is huge. Mom, wait till you see inside.
And, you're gonna manage this place?
I'm the lady of the house now. That's the idea.
Jennifer smiles tightly at her sister.
Come on, Mama, I got it.
They head into the house. Inside, Steve greets them.
There they are.
Girls, this is Mr. Steve Beard. Oh, come on, stop being shy. He's gonna get to know you soon enough.
Welcome. Come in. Put your bags down.
Thank you for the gift. I love it.
It's just a little housewarming gift from you.
Oh, Celeste, you certainly like the shop. Well, as long as you two like them, I'll take all the credit for your mom's shopping.
Where should we put our stuff?
Well, just leave them there for now. Burgers are almost ready. You girls hungry?
Yeah.
Steve leads them into the kitchen. An older woman prepares burger buns at a counter.
Celeste, girls, meet my little girl, Becky.
It's nice to meet you all. I know my dad is very excited to have you in the house.
Come with me, girls.
Your father has told me so much about you. He's so proud of how you teach math and live in Dallas.
And he's told me almost nothing about you.
I'm just here to take care of your father in this beautiful house. And that's really all you need to know.
Later, Steve and Becky serve burgers.
Christina, Jennifer, I'm so pleased to finally meet the two of you. Your mom has told me all about her beautiful babies. And now for the important question. How do you like your hamburgers? Every Wednesday around here is burger night. And there are a lot of tough decisions to be made. Ketchup, mustard, relish, tomato, bacon, cheese. I'm gonna pass out here. You want to jump in?
Ketchup and cheese, please.
Mustard and a pickle for me.
Now you're talking.
Nighttime. The girls unpack.
Seems nice, Mom.
I told you this was a step up from our apartment.
More like 10 steps.
So is your room just down the hall or something?
Something like that.
You're sleeping with him?
You just figured that out?
But you said you were the house manager.
I'm the lady of the house, so it's the same thing. Good night, my darling girl. Sleep tight.
Celeste leaves the room.
Celeste is always working some angle, Chris. You gotta know that by now.
I really like him. Maybe he'll be good for her.
Yeah, at least it'll be better than her dumping us in foster care again.
You think she's gonna marry him?
House like this? She's damn well gonna try.
9 months later, in the back of a church, Celeste stands in front of a mirror wearing a wedding dress. She opens a locket filled with pills. Christina and Jennifer approach.
You look beautiful, Mama. Like a million bucks.
Thank you.
Celeste takes a pill.
What? Every woman gets a little nervous on her wedding day.
And you've had plenty of practice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hush. This is what I've always wanted for us. Oh, my babies. I love you.
We love you too, Mama.
All right, let's go marry a millionaire.
At the reception, Steve and Celeste clink champagne flutes in front of a wedding cake. Jennifer and Christina sit at a table. Steve and Celeste walk over and sit with them.
My, you ladies all look stunning. I'm the luckiest guy in town.
Oh, we're the luckiest girls.
I have a very important question for the two of you.
Steve hands them jewelry boxes containing heart pendant necklaces.
Girls, what do you say?
It's beautiful.
Thank you.
The last 9 months have been pretty perfect. And I want you both to know that I love your mother. But today isn't just about me and her getting married. Today we become a family. And I want to adopt you so we can make it official. Well, what do you say?
We'd like that.
We love you.
Come here.
Steve wraps his arms around Christina and Jennifer. Later, Steve joins Becky at a table.
You could at least pretend to be happy for me.
Oh, I'm sorry, Daddy. But her? Really? Everyone's talking about how your new girlfriend, wife, is younger than your own daughter. It's embarrassing. I don't trust her.
But I do, honey. I trust her with my life. And since when did I care what other people think? Since when did you? I taught you better than that.
Her mom. What would she say?
She would want me to be happy. Becky, sweetheart. Before Celeste came along, I was so lonely. I don't want to live the rest of my life like that. Is that a crime?
The crime is Celeste just loves you for your money.
Well, she'd be an idiot not to love my money, don't you think?
Well, and I am not an idiot. You know, Becky, I thought signing the prenup would put all this gold digger talk to rest. I am here for your father in sickness and in health, just like the minister said.
You signed a prenup.
Of course. I'm not the greedy bitch you make me out to be. Now maybe you'll give me the benefit of the doubt. Come on, Big Daddy, we're needed for a toast.
Bex, I can take care of myself.
In the present, paramedics put Steve on a stretcher.
Steve, you're gonna be okay. You're gonna be okay, baby. Okay, please, please, don't let anything happen to my husband. He's my guardian angel, please.
Two detectives walk into the bedroom. Celeste and Christina sit down.
Excuse me, Mrs. Beard? Detective Rawlins, my partner, Detective Gates. Were you with your husband when he made the 911 call?
No, I was asleep in my daughter's room on the other side of the house.
Is there any reason why you were in your daughter's room, Mrs. Beard?
Steve snores so much, I don't always sleep in the same room.
Did you hear anything?
No,
Gates, a curly-haired woman, finds a shotgun shell.
Is there an alarm system in the house?
We got a shell here.
Gonna have to ask you ladies to step out of the room, please.
This is my bedroom.
Sorry. This is the crime scene now.
Christina helps Celeste to her feet. They weep as they walk out of the room. Christina and Celeste sit in a hospital.
How's he doing?
He's still in surgery. I'm gonna go find some more tissue.
Rollins sits with Christina.
Christina, do you know if your father was suicidal?
No. No, he and my mom were leaving on a month-long trip to Europe tomorrow.
Do you know anybody who'd want to hurt him?
Christina?
Jennifer walks in with a young man.
Is he going to be okay?
We don't know yet. He's still in surgery.
Detective Rollins, APD. You must be the other daughter.
Detective? They think that someone shot Steve.
Did you see anyone?
No. We were sleeping in my room. The first thing I heard was the police banging on the door.
Mrs. Beard, do you mind if I ask you a few more questions?
Sure, if it helps Steve, yes, anything.
Some of my questions might be a little personal. Maybe we could speak in private.
I'll be okay. Here.
Celeste steps aside with Rollins.
Personal questions, Detective. How does that help figure out what happened to Steve?
What was the state of your marriage, Mrs. Beard? Were you and Mr. Beard happy?
Happy? Of course we were happy. I love him and he loves me. Marrying Steve Beard was the best thing that ever happened.
Flashback.
How do you spend over $300,000 in 2 months? I never seen anyone spend money like you. You keep this up, there won't be anything left.
Well, I want to enjoy my life now. Not 20 years from now. Is that so wrong?
I set up a joint account that you have full access to. But my private accounts are just that. Private.
Yeah, well, I went to the bank to put some traveler's checks in the safety deposit box, and you know what I saw? Your dead wife's jewelry. Now, how can I be your wife when she is everywhere I look?
That's Elisa's jewelry, and I'm saving it for Becky.
Oh.
Celeste, what did you do?
I just had it appraised. All right, we can get it back.
You don't respect anything.
You don't understand me.
You're right, maybe I don't. I don't know how we're gonna make this work.
Are you gonna divorce me? Oh, you can't do that.
Celeste storms out. as Christina enters.
Is everything okay? I heard yelling.
Your mother's just upset, darling. Don't you worry.
Christina stares with a concerned face. She sighs. In the bedroom, Celeste opens a drawer and takes out a pistol. She stares into a mirror with a determined look, then runs downstairs and points the gun to her head.
Fire!
You don't want me around anymore!
No, Mama,
please!
Put the gun down!
Stop! Stop. I kill myself!
Nobody's getting a divorce!
Mama's stuck!
Call 911. Come on, baby. You don't want to do this. We can work it out. Give Big Daddy the gun.
Steve grabs the gun.
Please hurry, my mom needs help.
At a wellness clinic, Celeste drags luggage behind her as she approaches the reception desk. A sign behind the desk reads, Terrace View Manor. At the desk, Christina signs an intake form.
Okay, well, your mama's gonna get better. I promise.
I love you, Mama. I'll see you soon.
They hug.
I think this is going to be really good for you.
All right.
A nurse leads Celeste through a doorway. She glances back at Christina, who smiles and waves. In a meeting room, Celeste sits in a support group circle.
I'd like to welcome Celeste to our group. Celeste, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Celeste, and I'm here because I'm crazy like y'all.
Celeste, we try to use our group time to focus on our own experience and not pass judgment on anyone else.
I'm here because my home life can be, I don't know, overwhelming. My husband is controlling, and I find it hard to deal with sometimes.
All right. We can work on that. Welcome, Celeste.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
A woman with dark hair waves at Celeste with a friendly smile. Later, Celeste brings her a bakery box.
Donut?
How'd you get those in here?
One of my daughters bring them. Slip the guard $50 not to rat me out.
You want to join me?
Celeste sets down the box and sits beside her.
This group therapy thing is so difficult for me. Doesn't it bother you sitting around sharing your problems with complete strangers?
Maybe it used to. Now I can handle it better. Dr. Hester says it makes me more accountable if other people can hear what I'm saying too.
Well, if Dr. Hester says it, then it must be true.
Is this your first time here?
My first and only. I'd rather go to a spa and get massages than sit in these god-awful chairs and trade stories about who had it worse growing up.
It's my third time.
What? What's so wrong with you?
Depression. It gets bad sometimes. So bad I hear voices. And I have a bad habit of choosing the wrong women. I tend to get my heart broken a lot.
It sounds like you're just a sucker for love.
Maybe. But a sucker doesn't get angry, and I do. Rumor had it I ran over my ex-girlfriend's husband with my truck.
What? Did you?
No.
She leans in.
But I thought about it.
Celeste returns to the mansion.
Welcome back, Buttercup.
Oh, I missed you so much. And I missed our home and our life. And I even missed those ugly beige drapes. Oh, Steve, let's redecorate. I mean, this house could use a clean slate.
You just said you missed the drapes.
Oh, sweetie. Sweetie, let's not have any more beige in our lives. I mean, don't we deserve a fresh start?
Well, I did some thinking while you were gone. And I'm sure we can work it out, can't we?
Oh, baby. You know, I want nothing more than to make you happy and be a good wife. And I know I can do it. I realize I was just in denial over what I went through when I was a kid, and I was taking it out on you.
Oh, hon, I'm so sorry. But I'm glad the therapy helped. You're right. Let's get rid of all the beige. No more beige.
No more beige.
No more.
Oh, no more beige.
The dark-haired woman meets Celeste in a nail salon.
There you are. I've been wanting to do something for you for the last 6 weeks. A signature nail color. And now that we're free...
I'm not really someone who gets manicures.
Everybody needs a good manicure, honey.
Don't worry, you'll still look like yourself. Just a little more stylish.
Celeste, I'm not sure.
Tracy Tarleton, you deserve to look and feel your best, both inside and out. Now, come on, this is part of your recovery and your road to self-love. Please, let me pamper you already.
Yeah, I will.
Good. Now shut up and enjoy the ride.
In the present.
You tell them about Tracy?
You know Tracy's obsessed with your mom. You need to tell them.
Your mother's trying to figure out what's going on with your father's surgery. I didn't catch your name.
Jennifer.
Jennifer and...
David Whitmer.
David Whitmer. You two were, you were out of the house this evening, yeah?
We were staying at David's.
Any of you three wondering who might have done this to Mr. Beard?
Someone broke into the house. Wasn't it the robber that shot him?
That's what I'm trying to figure out here.
Have you asked Tracy Tarleton?
Tracy Tarleton.
She's a friend of Celeste's. She might want Steve gone.
Please, don't tell her mom that we told you that.
Rollins and Gates stand at Tracy's door.
Yes? Can I help you?
Detective Rollins, Detective Gates. I'd like to ask you a couple questions about Steve Beard.
Steve?
He's been shot.
That's awful. What happened? Is he...
Touch and go. Mind if we talk inside?
Later.
You close with Mr. Beard?
I know him through a friend.
Is that friend Celeste Beard? She's okay, by the way. In case you were worried.
That's good. That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, sure.
Where were you between the hours of midnight and 3 a.m.?
Sleeping.
Found a shotgun shell in their bedroom. 20 gauge. Do you own a shotgun, Tracy?
20 gauge, I don't...
You might want to think real hard about what you're about to say, because if you lie to us now, we're just going to go back, get a warrant, come back here, and search your premises.
Either way, I have a feeling we're going to find a 20 gauge shotgun in the house somewhere. What do you think, Tracy? Is that feeling correct?
Eyes darting, Tracy gets up from the sofa. She crosses the room and opens a cabinet. There's a shotgun inside.
Step away. Step away!
Rollins takes a shotgun out of the cabinet.
Do you know?
Tracy's in an interrogation room.
Miss Tarleton here ran her truck over some guy she got into an argument with. They're both drinking.
Man, that looks painful.
Yep. She's got a flair for the dramatic. How you holding up, Tracy?
It's been a long day.
Long day. Steve Beard just got out of a 4-hour surgery. It's been a long day for him and his family, too. You know, and any minute now, I bet Ballista's gonna walk through that door with a report that says it was your gun that shot Steve Beard.
And then we'll be charging you with the aggravated assault of Steve Beard.
Anything else you want to tell us? Now's your chance to work with us before it's
too... I did it. I shot Steve Beard.
You want to tell us why?
Do you ever read a real good romance novel, Detective? It's a story where someone is so in love that it can't help but end in tragedy.
Are you in love, Tracy?
I did it for Celeste. I shot Steve because I love Celeste.
And does Mrs. Beard know that you shot her husband for her?
She knows I care about her. But Celeste had nothing to do with this.
You were lucky Steve Beard didn't die. Because otherwise you'd be looking at the death penalty, Tracy. With no possibility of bail.
I can get bail?
In a hospital room, Christina and Becky sit with Steve.
Mama will be right back. She's been holding your hand since you got out of surgery. We're just really happy that you're okay.
Mind if we come in?
You can't really talk right now. I'll be quick.
I just thought you should know that Tracy Tarleton confessed to shooting you. We'll be charging her with aggravated assault.
Tracy?
Told you they'd catch who did this, Daddy.
Mr. Beard, do you know Tracy Tarleton? Just blink once for yes, sir.
He blinks.
Was Tracy Tarleton, she was friends with your wife, sir?
She was!
Celeste enters the room carrying a teddy bear.
Can't believe she would do something like this.
You okay, Big Daddy? You don't have to answer any questions.
It's just a few questions, Mrs. Beard.
Can I talk to you outside, please?
The detectives follow her outside the room.
Listen, I will answer whatever questions you have, but that angel of a man almost died yesterday. Please let him recover, for God's sake.
Can you just tell us how you became friends with Tracy Tarleton?
Some women have the junior league. I had Tracy Tarleton.
Are you in a romantic relationship with Tracy Tarleton?
Me? Mm-hmm. No, of course not.
Never been intimate with Tracy Tarleton.
What kind of question is that? I am a respectable married woman.
Well, Miss Tarleton seems to imply that the feelings were mutual.
The only mistake I made was being friends with that woman. Now, I never should have tried to help her.
So, Miss Tarleton came up with the idea of shooting your husband herself?
Please. My family has been through a very traumatic event, and our lawyer says I don't have to speak to you. So please, just let him heal without this pointless harassment.
Rollins nods and walks off with Gates. Christina approaches Celeste.
Oh, honey, the awful detectives are gone. Now we can just focus on being together and getting Steve home.
Did they say anything about Tracy?
Oh, sugar. I never should have trusted her. Just goes to show you never know what someone is hiding.
And if you'd been in bed with him, she could have shot you too.
Oh, this is grateful that we're all here together, same.
Celeste checks her phone. Christina sees the call display.
Tracy's calling you? I thought that she was in jail.
Listen, honey, don't think about her, right?
Mama, why isn't she in jail? They just said that they arrested her.
I'm gonna tell her to never call me again. All right, she's out of our lives forever. Trust me. Just let me take care of this.
Christina nods and turns away.
Okay.
Celeste walks down the hall and answers. Tracy's at home.
Celeste?
I can't talk to you now.
I told them I did it. I did it because I love you. Celeste. You love me too, don't you?
Celeste stares. Outside the mansion, Celeste opens the front door and pulls police tape off of a potted plant. She picks up a newspaper with Steve's photo in the headline, A Shot in the Night. In the kitchen, Celeste reads the paper.
I hope someone made some coffee.
Coming. Oh, Mom, maybe we shouldn't read that.
Housekeeper? I was never the housekeeper. How dare they?
Mom, maybe we could do something fun today. We could go shopping.
Chris, we gotta go to school, and someone needs to show guns to you.
We could go to Neiman's, but they have the new winter collections in.
You know what? Your sister's right. You two go to school, and I'll go sit with Steve.
You sure you're feeling okay, Mama?
She's fine, Chris. Jeez. Get dressed. I'm leaving in 5.
Why don't you go get your mama some champagne before you go?
Of course.
Christina leaves. Celeste puts down the newspaper and drums her fingers on it. She picks up her cell phone and dials a number. Later, in a walk-in closet.
Meet me in the hospital parking lot at 6:00.
Celeste opens a jewelry box and pulls out a diamond ring. She slips it onto her finger and admires it. She smiles at herself in the mirror. In a parking lot, Celeste and Tracy sit in a car.
How's Steve?
He's been shot, Tracy. How do you think he is?
Well, he's alive at least. I did this for you. To save you. You said you were going to get rid of the bullet casing.
Celeste strokes Tracy's hair.
You could use some highlights. It'd look really good.
Celeste, this is serious.
I know it's serious, sir. Right? I'm worried about you. You're not exactly well.
And you are?
Celeste smiles and holds up a gift bag.
I got you a little something.
Tracy smiles thinly and takes the bag. She pulls out a jewelry box and opens it to reveal the diamond ring.
Well, that's a little fancy for me. I'm not exactly going out anywhere nice.
It can be as fancy as you want sitting around your living room. And every time it sparkles, you know I'm thinking about you.
I don't know what to say. I thought you were ignoring me.
Of course not, sugar. Look, I wanted to find the case, and I really did, but... yeah, Steve called 911, and then the police showed up so fast. I didn't want them to find it.
I'll fix this. I have a plan.
Tracy leans in for a kiss. Celeste rebuffs her.
Someone could see us.
I miss you.
All right. You know I'm always going to take care of you.
Tracy climbs out of the car. In the hospital.
Hey, Big Daddy. How you feeling today? Oh, no. Take it easy. Doctor says you're not out of the woods entirely, but you are making good progress. Slowly and surely is the name of the game.
Becky.
She was here a few days ago. She had to go back to Dallas. How does this sound? I'll throw a fun party for your birthday. It'll be right around Thanksgiving, and you should be home by then. Becky can be there with the girls. Does that sound good?
That sounds perfect.
You know, all this has got me thinking. If anything were to ever happen to you, I don't know what I'd do. You've been so important to me and the girls. I would hate for them to lose this amazing life you've given us.
I made sure you and the girls are taken care of.
I know. You've been so good to us. You're truly... our knight in shining armor. It's just that, well, you know, Becky doesn't like me too much. Well, I worry she would just take everything away if you passed.
The trust I set up for you, no one can touch that.
I know. But the house. You know, I don't want to worry you about that right now. I just hate that everything you worked for, Becky could just... sell it all off if she wanted to.
Call Bill. I'll change my will right now. You should get half of everything. Would that make you feel better?
You would do that for us? Oh, the girls will be so relieved. Oh, you are my angel.
Flashback.
Why won't you let me buy any more clothes?
Steve brings clothing into the bedroom.
Everything I have looks so cheap.
How about these? They haven't been worn.
I told you, I don't have anything to wear.
Celeste, you're my wife. You know I don't care what anyone thinks.
Don't push me, all right? You're pushing me to be something I'm not, and I can't handle it. You don't understand me.
Maybe you could use another visit to Terrace Field.
You might be right. Could you call them for me? I was feeling a little shaky.
Steve picks up a phone.
Okay.
This is Steve Beard.
Celeste walks into the bathroom and closes the door. She takes a deep breath and stands in front of the mirror. She makes a call on her cell phone.
I'll check in tomorrow. Request that you're my roommate. You check in tonight. Tell them you're hearing voices again or something.
Celeste. Paris, you can accept you tomorrow.
Thanks, Steve. You're my angel.
Celeste pops a pill into her mouth. At the clinic, a woman leads Celeste into a room with Tracy.
Ugh, what a drag. And they searched through everything. And I mean everything.
Yeah, they took my chocolate bars. But not my cigarettes, funnily enough.
Steve's been so awful. He's so controlling. You know, the other day, he said I wasn't pretty enough to leave the house. So he took my car keys. I was trapped at the house until he came home. And every day it's something like that. I just don't know how much I can take of it.
Are you gonna divorce him? Because then you and I could just...
The prenup doesn't give me anything worthwhile if we get divorced. And it's not like I can just give him a heart attack. I'll think of something. My neck is killing me.
Celeste rubs her shoulder and turns to Tracy with a smile.
You want to give me a rub down?
Tracy grins and taps the bed. Celeste walks over and pulls off her shirt. She lies face down on the bed, and Tracy kneels beside her, rubbing her back.
Feels good.
You've got group therapy.
We'll be there in 5.
Not in 5. Now.
At the nail salon, Celeste hands the manicurist a newspaper with the headline, A Secret Affair.
This paper has it in for me.
Don't let those silly reporters bother you, hon.
They're saying that Tracy and I had an affair and that I put her up to shooting Steve. An affair? Really? That's just ridiculous. Well, at least we know who hurt my Steve.
I can tell you from experience that Tracy is hoping she doesn't have to go back to jail.
You were in prison? Heather! Been holding out on me.
It was a few years ago. I kited a few checks between jobs. Did 6 months for it.
Well, I bet you met some interesting people while you were in there.
None I'm going to tell you about.
Could you answer that for me?
Celeste phone.
Mrs. Beard?
Hold on.
This is Celeste.
Mrs. Beard.
Yes?
Mrs. Beard, your husband just passed away. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Everything okay?
Steve died.
Oh, Celeste. I'm so sorry. If there's anything I can do.
No, I'll be fine. Just finish these.
Outside the mansion, a reporter waits in the driveway.
Mrs.
Thank
Beard.
You so much for coming.
Now, Mrs. Beard, did you have anything to do with the murder of your husband?
My beloved husband, Stephen Beard, has passed away. This has been a very difficult time for me and my daughters, and we appreciate all your thoughts and prayers. My darling husband, Steve, was generous, gifted, and strong. He brought nothing but joy to my life, and I will love him and miss him forever.
Mrs. Beard, what do you think of Tracy Tarleton, the alleged shooter?
Tracy watches on TV.
For Miss Tarleton. And I blame myself for allowing her into our lives, not realizing how disturbed she really is.
Mrs. Beard.
Tracy's eyes dart, and her brow furrows. Later, she puts down a liquor glass and weeps as she makes a phone call.
This is Celeste. Make a count.
The least you can do is not trash me in the media. You asked for this, Celeste.
Detective Rollins, APD.
You said you'd take care of me.
Tracy Tarleton.
Taking a swig, she dials again.
Tracy Tarleton.
This is Celeste. Make a count.
I loved you. And I won't lie about it anymore, Celeste. I'm done lying for you. I am done.
Tracy stares at the ring on her pinky finger and tosses it into her drink. She answers the front door.
Ready for this?
Rollins holds up a pair of handcuffs. Tracy steps outside.
Tracy Tarleton, you've been charged with the murder of Stephen Beard. You have the right to remain silent.
You know you can get the death penalty for this. This is Texas.
Later, Tracy's in an interrogation room.
Tracy, I'm Ann Simpson, your court-appointed attorney. It's just us right now, and anything you say to me will be kept confidential.
The shooting was the last idea. I wouldn't have done it if she hadn't asked me.
Look, I'm happy to take this to the DA, but she's just going to say that you're trying to get a lighter sentence by pointing the finger at Celeste Beard. What's different this time?
Celeste used me. She convinced me that Steve was controlling her, abusing her. And I couldn't see it before because I was in love.
Flashback.
Oh, Big Daddy.
Tracy's at the mansion.
Drink.
Careful, hon. Hot grill.
Oh, boo. Nothing hotter than me.
Celeste bumps her hips against Steve as he grills outside. She walks inside and passes Tracy.
Tracy, you good, hon?
I'm cruising.
Jennifer, Christina, and David play cards.
Does anyone else notice that Tracy has been around a lot lately?
Celeste loves having a puppy.
Well, as long as she keeps her happy.
Celeste grabs pure grain alcohol and pours it into a drink.
Here you go, Big Daddy.
She hands the drink to Steve.
Tracy, you better dance with me.
Well, I don't think that's a good idea.
Oh, come on. You never think anything's a good idea. You get your butt out of that chair now. I command you. Come on.
In front of the others, Celeste and Tracy dance, grinding their hips together.
Hun. Not polite to grind on the guests.
Yeah, Mom, there's children present.
Oh, everyone calm down.
Tracy twirls Celeste beneath her arm and kisses the side of her neck.
Okay, that's enough.
Steve grabs Celeste's arm.
Steve!
Celeste, I think it's time for your friend to leave.
I'm sorry, Tracy. I'll just call you tomorrow. Right?
Later in the bedroom.
I don't want you being friends with that woman.
Steve, you can't tell me who I can and can't be friends with.
Steve sits on the end of the bed. His face is covered in sweat.
You want to leave me for her, Celeste? Is that it?
Yeah, Steve, you're the smartest man I know, and that's just crazy talk. All right, Tracy is the first real friend I have made in Austin. Without her, here, honey, without her, I don't have anyone.
Steve lies down.
You have me. How about we get away from Austin for a bit? We go to Switzerland or Italy, you name it. It's just us. It'll be just what we need.
At Tracy's, Celeste paces while Tracy sits on the sofa.
He told me last night he wants to take me to Europe. Yeah. Once he gets me over there, I'm dead. I know it. I'll kill myself. If anything happens to me, it's because he made me do it.
There has to be something you can do. He can't actually force you to go to Europe with him, can he? Stay here with me.
No, he'll find me here too easily.
But couldn't you just leave him for good?
You don't know him like I do. All right, if I leave him, he'll take whatever money I have and threaten me until I come back. He could take my girls. Look, he won't let me divorce him. I'm trapped. You have to help me.
But how?
You love me, don't you?
More than anything.
I have a plan.
In the present.
That's when she told me I should shoot Steve.
Tracy's in the interrogation room.
To save her.
In the mansion, Christina and Jennifer fold funeral cards. Celeste browses a coffin catalog.
This one is perfect. Steve loved oak. It's sturdy like he was. Now remember, girls, sturdy is a good quality in a man. You know, I never would have thought so, but
Oh, what about these white ones for us?
Celeste, that's not funny.
What? We're all gonna die sometime. Wouldn't it be nice to know we had everything planned in a tasteful way? Plus, they do a bundle offer if the whole family buys in advance.
Baba, that's morbid. I can't think about that right now.
Fine, I'll make all the decisions then. All right, white coffins for all of us. And yours with the pink lining and mine with red. Now make sure they dress me in something black and slimming. It'll look perfect against the red.
You're really sick.
I'm just thinking ahead. You know what? You'll thank me when you're dead.
At the funeral, Celeste greets a guest.
Thank you so much for coming. Steve would have appreciated your support.
Becky enters.
Oh, please. Save your crocodile tears, Celeste.
Girls, would you go get your mama a drink? What did you say to me?
My father may not have been able to see through the show that you're putting on. But I can.
How dare you? You weren't even there for him in the end. I was.
Because you didn't want me to see him in the hospital.
Do you even know what I sacrificed for him?
He's gone. Why can't you just leave me alone now?
It's because I'm Mrs. Beard, whether you like it or not.
You are disgusting. And you never loved him. Just admit it.
I loved him. I still do. All $10 million of him.
In a limo, Celeste drinks vodka.
Mama, I think we were supposed to stay at the reception.
Those country club people, they don't care about me. No. They just want to pick over Steve's bones and see what's left for them like a bunch of vultures. Driver, we need more vodka back here, please.
Let me just make you some wine. Christina,
hey.
No.
You girls wouldn't turn on me, would you?
No. What do they want now?
In the mansion driveway, Rollins and Gate stand by a squad car. The limousine pulls up. Celeste steps out.
Celeste Beard, you're under arrest for the murder of Stephen Beard. You have the right to remain silent.
What's wrong with you? I just buried my husband this morning.
Anything you say may be used against you in a court of law.
Oh, this is absurd. You can't be serious.
You have the right to an attorney.
But I didn't do anything.
Mrs. Beard, I'm going to need you to come with us right now.
The only place I am going is inside my house. Now, if you'll excuse me.
Mama, I think it's best that we listen to this.
Rollins cuffs Celeste.
I didn't do anything. My baby. I didn't do anything.
At the police precinct, an officer takes Celeste's mugshot.
Smile, Celeste. You're famous.
Rollins and Gates watch Celeste in an interrogation room.
She called for her lawyer right away, so we're stuck until he gets here.
Who'd she get?
Nick Masters.
I'm beginning to hate this case.
Gates opens a door.
You plucked this lady from her home on what grounds?
She's been implicated in the murder of her husband.
Implicated? You mean scapegoated by a woman with a history of mental illness trying to lighten her own sentence?
We think Miss Tarleton makes some reasonable points.
Y'all don't have any proof and you know it. This is going to be embarrassing for your department. Now I have to talk to my client.
Later.
Mrs. Beard, you look a little worse for wear.
They've kept me in here for hours. I just want to go home, take a pill, and get into a hot bath.
Well, it might take a little longer than you'd like.
They can't actually keep me here, can they?
Mrs. Beard, let's get candid.
Celeste.
Celeste, were you ever involved in a romantic relationship with Miss Tarleton?
What? No, never.
Well, you may not consider yourself a lesbian, but detectives have some pictures of you and that Tarleton woman that look pretty intimate.
We were friends, that's all.
Nick hands Celeste a photo.
That looks a little bit more than friends to me.
It shows Tracy kissing Celeste on the cheek.
Friends can be affectionate.
Affectionate? You two talked on the phone so much it seemed a little bit more than affectionate. Even after you knew that she shot Steve.
She was obsessed with me. I didn't want to trigger her. You know she had anger issues. She was institutionalized for them.
Celeste, if I'm going to represent you, I'm going to need you to be honest with me.
Look, I am being honest, Mr. Masters. The only thing I am guilty of is being nice to Tracy Tarleton. She was like a sad puppy when I met her. I couldn't let her go back to her lonely life. Now, I can't help it that she had some deranged obsession with me and thought she needed to kill Steve.
Did you marry Steve for his money?
Do you think he married me for my cooking?
The truth, please.
Look, it wasn't always easy being married to Steve. Right? He was demanding and he yelled a lot. But he was a loving man to me and my daughters, and I couldn't have asked for a better husband.
Good. That's what we'll tell them.
Nick takes a photo and closes it in his briefcase.
Now, I can get you out on bond.
He stands.
While we get ready for the trial, but you be a good girl out there, Celeste. What you do matters, and people are watching.
Celeste nods. Nick leaves the interrogation room. Nighttime, Celeste returns to the mansion.
Hello, my baby.
Christina eats pizza with Jennifer and David.
Happy to see me? Mama's out on bail. I missed you, my babies.
Christina hugs Celeste.
Jennifer, don't you have anything you want to say to me?
I missed you too, Celeste.
Of all days, you couldn't be nice to me today. Well, I'm exhausted. I'm gonna go to bed. But tomorrow, Christina, you and me, we're gonna go shopping because you deserve a treat.
Have fun.
We will. Good night.
Christina turns to Jennifer and David, shaking her head. In the bedroom, Celeste puts down her purse and turns to the bed. She flashes back to Steve getting shot.
Daddy!
Celeste pictures the sheet stained with blood. She breathes heavily. In the bathroom, Celeste pours a prescription pill into her palm. Filling a glass with water, she downs the pill. Staring at herself in the mirror, she composes herself. In the closet, Celeste and Christina browse purses and jewelry.
Mama, did you hear me?
Oh, no. Sorry, sugar. What'd you say?
I said, how much is this lawyer gonna cost? I heard Nick Masters is the most expensive lawyer in Austin.
Well, that's not right, hon. He's the most expensive lawyer in Texas. And doesn't your mama deserve the best?
You do, but can we afford it?
You're starting to sound like Steve. Oh, we need to get our nails done after the mall. Call Heather, will you? What? Normally so excited for our shopping days. Aren't you gonna get dressed?
I've got school, Mama. And I don't think that we should be spending money like that anymore.
Come on, just one day. It'll be like old times. All right. Bad. You're so worried about money.
She swipes purses onto the floor.
See what you can get for these.
At the nail salon, Heather does Celeste's nails.
It's like Jennifer believes everything that's in the papers, and soon enough she'll have Christina believe in the same thing. And Gold Digger. So my daughters are gonna think of me.
You will always be their mama. It's just a rough time.
Everything I do for my girls. They know that, right?
They do, yes. And in the meantime, you stay strong.
Well, Heather, I don't want to go to jail.
Oh, hon, you get that thought out of your head right now. It's not going to happen.
You know, if only Tracy Tarleton would shut her stupid mouth.
You really think she'd say something that could hurt you?
Tracy would say anything to save herself.
Well, I could maybe help you find a solution to your Tracy problem.
Oh, yeah? How are you going to do that? Poison nail polish?
I know a couple of people. From when I was inside, who could help?
Mama?
In the mansion at
Mama?
Night, Celeste sleeps on a sofa.
Get you to bed.
Not her caretaker, Christina.
If she wants to pass out on the couch again, let her.
You know, I know you don't like me very much, Jennifer. But deep down inside, you love me. I'm your mama. And I always will be.
Mama. Mama, please.
Come on.
You would love it if I just killed myself, wouldn't you?
I didn't say that.
Yeah, why don't we all just kill ourselves, huh? Turn the gas on. Go to sleep. We'd be together forever. That would be perfect.
A tear rolls down Jennifer's face as Celeste falls back asleep.
Come on, Christina. Come stay with us at David's tonight.
I can't leave her.
She just talked about killing us.
Mom would never hurt us.
Are you sure about that? Look, I get that she's a crappy mother, but that doesn't mean that she's a killer. I love you, Christina, but I won't stick around to find out. You shouldn't either.
Jennifer leaves with David. In the morning, Christina sits in an office in the mansion.
Sit down. Do you want coffee?
Celeste grabs a coffee, looking at a desk covered with documents.
What's all this?
I thought I'd help out with some of the paperwork. It's piling up. Oh. Just trying to make sense of it all.
It's a good idea. I could use a secretary.
I want to help Mama. I really do.
Oh, my sweet girl.
But I think maybe you need to get some help. The trial's in a month, and things are only going to get more stressful around here. I mean, maybe you could use a little bit of time at Terrace View.
Your sister put you up to this.
I don't know what to do anymore, Mama. I'm trying to help, but I'm scared. I don't want you to go to jail.
Oh, sweetie. I get scared sometimes, too. But I promise you, I'm not going to jail. A few days off, though, might be just what I need. Call for me.
Of course.
Celeste leaves the office. Christina closes her eyes, then looks down over the documents. She picks up an envelope and pulls out a check for $10,000 made out to Heather. The words, "Nail Emergency," are written in the memo field. At the clinic, Celeste and Christina approach the reception desk.
Good morning, Sarah. Celeste Beard checking in.
All right, Mrs. Beard, I have some papers for you to sign.
I'm paying cash, so this is how it's gonna go. I want a private room, no group therapy, massages every day, and I will have my food brought in.
That's not how it works here. If I can have you sign?
Sarah, why aren't you agreeing with me? I mean, clearly I'm crazy.
At the nail salon, Christina walks in while a manicurist sits with a customer.
Hey.
Hey, is Heather coming in today?
Heather doesn't work here anymore, but what do you need? Mani? Petty?
No, thanks. Do you know where she went?
I couldn't tell you. She walked up in here like the Queen of England, quit, said she was moving.
Thanks.
In the clinic, Celeste opens a takeout bag.
I've been sorting through your paperwork. It's really piling up.
Oh, good. Well, I knew you'd be a good little secretary.
There's a bunch of papers from the bank. You wrote Heather a check for $10,000. What was that for?
It was a nail emergency.
For $10,000?
I'm joking. Jeez, laugh a little. You need it. You know, you're never going to find a boyfriend if you don't smile every once in a while.
What was it for, Mama?
You are no fun.
The bank wants to know for accounting.
It was a loan. All right, Heather found herself in a bit of a pickle, and she said she'd pay it back.
Did she?
Where are my dumplings? Did you forget my dumplings?
Heather doesn't work at the salon anymore.
You went looking for her.
I just wanted to ask her about the check.
Look, I appreciate you being my little secretary, but don't you ever snoop around behind my back like that again. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Look, Heather needed a loan, all right? And despite what you might think of me, I like to help people. I'm not all bad, hon. Not everyone is blessed with money like we are.
You're right.
At the front desk, Celeste slides Sarah a $50 bill. Sarah slides a phone across the counter and leaves. Celeste grabs it and makes a call.
This is Heather's phone. Please leave a message.
Hey, Heather. It's Celeste. Where the hell are you? My daughter told me you quit the salon. Don't make me come looking for you. And you better not be talking to the police about me. We had a deal.
She hangs up. In the mansion office.
Where does this go? Is this life insurance?
Jennifer hands a document to Christina, who reads it with a furrowed brow.
No, this is ours. Mom took out $50,000 life insurance policies on each of us a few weeks ago. No. No, she wouldn't. She's our mother.
She was just talking about us all dying together. Christina, this is proof. Mom's dangerous. First, she set up Tracy, and
we don't know she set up Tracy.
Think about it. Without us in the way, she gets a lot more of Steve's money. If she had to choose between us and Steve's money, which do you think would win? Pack a bag. We're staying at David's.
I know who I have to talk to.
In an interrogation room.
I never thought you'd show up.
A teary Christina sits across from Tracy.
I wasn't gonna. But after Steve died. And my mom.
So sorry, Christina. I'm ashamed of what I did. I will never forgive myself.
What happened, Tracy? Did she ask you to shoot Steve?
I thought I was keeping her safe.
Keeping her safe from what?
From Steve. She said that he controlled her. Threatened to hurt her.
Tracy, Steve would never do that. He loved us.
Well, how could I be so stupid? I believed everything Celeste said.
She's good at that. It's not just you.
She told me that if she went to Europe with him, that she would come back in a coffin. She said that he would force her to suicide, or he would kill her himself. I shot him to save her. That's what I'm gonna say in court. I wish you could have heard her. It sounded so real. I wish I could prove it. Now it's just my word against hers.
At David and Jennifer's house, they sit by a phone.
Oh no.
Christina walks in.
What did she do now?
She's checking herself out of Terrace View. She left these on the voicemail at the house.
Chris, it's Mama. I'm ready to come home. Come get me. Why aren't you picking up? I need a ride. Don't you dare make me take a taxi after everything I have done for you girls.
Did she call you?
My phone was off while I was visiting Tracy.
Christina takes out her cell phone.
Why are you making me wait? You're acting like a little bitch, Christina. Just like your sister.
What do we do?
Going home isn't an option, that's for sure.
Maybe if we just ignore her, she'll stop.
No, she won't stop.
David, do you have a tape recorder we could use?
Yeah, but these voicemails are all saved, right?
No, it's not for the voicemails. Every time we talk to her from here on out, we have to record it. That way she can't lie about anything she's saying or doing.
I'm in. But David and I will pick her up. If she calls, you can record it from here.
Okay.
Outside the clinic, Celeste waits by a door with her luggage.
Hey!
David and Jennifer drive over in an SUV.
Oh, my God.
They pull over, and Jennifer steps out from the passenger seat.
About freaking time! Where the hell is your sister?
Nice to see you too, Celeste.
Oh, don't you Celeste me, Jennifer. I know your game. Why isn't your sister picking up the phone?
Celeste gets into the back seat. In the front seat, Jennifer writes a text. Celeste's calling you. David loads Celeste's bags, who makes a call. At David's house, Christina stares at her cell phone. She picks it up.
Hi, Mama.
Where have you been? Why'd you make me wait so long? You know, I've done nothing but shower you in love and gifts. And this is how you treat me? You know what I grew up with? A father who didn't like me and a mother who didn't care. And you and your sister are acting like spoiled little bitches. Now I am coming home, and I expect you to be there and support your mother.
No, Mama, I won't be home.
What? Did you just say no to me?
Jennifer records with a tape recorder on her lap.
I don't know what you are telling your sister, but she has turned on me. You know, I could kill her. I should kill both of you. Now drive. I'm gonna go home. Waiting long enough.
Later, Jennifer kneels by a weeping Christina.
She's home.
And she practically threatened to kill you after she hung up.
She's dangerous, Christina. We're not safe until she's in jail. The trial's next week, so we need to do something. Do you think you could get her to tell you what really happened with Tracy?
You mean like record a confession?
In the morning, they sit in the SUV. Jennifer hands Christina the tape recorder. Christina turns it on and stuffs it into her pocket. Jennifer and David watch as Christina gets out of the car and crosses the driveway. Reaching the front door, Christina rings the doorbell. Celeste opens the door, holding a drink in her hand.
Look who decided to grace us with her presence.
Hi, Mama.
Christina walks inside. At the mansion, Christina returns to the SUV. Celeste stands in the doorway behind her.
Hi, Jennifer. Hi, David.
Christina gets in the back. Jennifer and David turn to her expectantly.
Just drive. Go.
David pulls out of the driveway. Inside the mansion, Celeste walks upstairs. She leans against the railing and stares down at the floor. She pulls a pill from her pocket and swallows it. She washes it down with her drink. She begins to sway. And falls. Later, paramedics help her.
I don't care what you say, you're wrong. Right, my leg is broken. I can't put any weight on it. And I'm gonna need a cast.
In a courtroom.
It's the first day of the Celeste Beard trial. The Austin woman who allegedly coerced her lesbian lover to shoot her husband in cold blood.
Jennifer and Christina enter the courtroom. Celeste enters on crutches with a brace around her left leg. Christina gives Jennifer a confused look. Celeste sits at the counsel table next to Nick.
You poor thing. You okay?
He leans in closer.
Is it real?
I fail.
Okay. Here we go.
The prosecutor stands.
This case is about money, murder, and madness. The evidence will show that a greedy and manipulative defendant took advantage of a mentally ill woman who was in love with her. A divorce would net her $500,000. But his death netted her millions. Celeste Beard needed Tracy Tarleton to shoot her husband, Steve Beard. We expect that when you hear all the evidence, you will agree that this defendant is guilty of capital murder.
Nick addresses the jury.
State's key witness, Tracy Tarleton, is crazy. The DA can't corroborate any of her statements. And there is no evidence connecting Celeste Beard to this crime. This is really a case about fatal attraction and obsession. Tracy couldn't have Celeste all to herself, so she killed Celeste's husband. These are the actions of a delusional, mentally ill woman who cannot keep her own story straight. Of course, Tracy Tarleton points the finger at Celeste Beard. She's hoping to lighten her sentence. As for Mrs. Beard, she married well when she married Steve. But they were happy before his death. Steve Beard's murder was a tragic event at the hand of Tracy Tarleton.
Tracy takes a stand.
You confessed to shooting Steve Beard. That is not in question today. The matter at hand is why. Why did you shoot Steve Beard, Miss Tarleton?
I shot Steve because Celeste asked me to. She planned everything. Which door she would leave unlocked. Her sleeping in the girls' room that night. She even suggested I shoot him in the stomach so the blood splatter wouldn't mess up the paint job on the walls. She said she didn't want to have to redecorate after he died.
And just because Celeste Beard asked you to shoot her husband, why would you go ahead and do that?
Because I loved her. I thought that if I shot Steve, that we could be together and Celeste would be safe.
So why turn on Celeste Beard now?
Because I shot an innocent man. Because the truth has to come out so that Steve's family can have some closure. I have to live with his guilt the rest of my life. But Celeste lied to Steve, and she lied to me. And though I don't think she's capable of feeling any guilt, she has to pay for what she did.
No further questions, Your Honor.
Nick cross-examines.
Miss Tarleton, is it fair to say that you've been suicidal multiple points in your life?
Yes, sir.
Is it fair to say that you've been homicidal?
Yes, sir.
What about delusional?
I don't know. About what?
About your relationship with Mrs. Beard. Two of you were friends, but in your mind, you were more than that. You thought you were lovers.
No, that was real. We were in love. I loved Celeste, and Celeste said that she loved me too.
Miss Tarleton, what is this?
Nick holds up a notebook.
That's my journal.
You seem to rat about everything. Could you read this passage to the court?
It gets so hard to pretend I have a girlfriend who wants to see me and spend time with me.
Pretend? Did it get hard pretending you were in a relationship with Mrs. Beard? I mean, because that's what you were doing, weren't you? Pretending?
That's not what I meant. I was pretty medicated when I wrote most of this.
Medicated? As in taking medication for a psychological issue? You tell me if this is right. Your psychological assessment for the Menninger Clinic, one of the places that you were treated in. They describe you as bright, manipulative, bipolar disorder, inclined to serious, even delusional misinterpretations of other people and reality. Does that sound accurate to you, Miss Tarleton? I need to hear you say it, Miss Tarleton. Your relationship with Mrs. Beard was a delusion, wasn't it?
Tracy fights tears as she glares at Celeste.
I loved you. I really did. I'm so ashamed of what I've done. I'm sorry for the pain that caused the Beard family. I will never forgive myself. To answer your question, Mr. Masters, I was not delusional. I was deluded by Celeste Beard.
At Jennifer and David's.
This is a case of she said, she said. And today we got more questions than answers.
Christina eats with them.
He ripped her to shreds.
Yeah, she was telling the truth.
It doesn't matter. You made the jury doubt her credibility. That's enough to discredit all of it.
Celeste could walk. We can't let that happen.
Steve really loved us, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
We have to stand up to Celeste.
The caller ID on Christina's phone reads, Mom.
She just doesn't get it. Completely delusional Celeste. She can't get away with this.
You okay, Christine?
We have to go to the police.
Now. Why?
Because Mom said something.
In the morning, Celeste walks through the courtroom on her crutches.
Pretty tight, but looking good.
She sits at the counsel table.
The prosecution calls to the stand Christina Beard.
Christina.
Celeste turns with wide eyes as Christina crosses the courtroom and takes the witness stand. Bailiff holds a Bible. Christina places her hand on it.
Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
You started tape recording your interactions with your mother.
Christina testifies.
Yes.
And why did you start recording your mother, Christina?
Because I thought that if she could hear herself on the recording, that she would realize how hurtful she was being. But then I heard something I didn't want to believe.
Your Honor, the prosecution wishes to introduce into evidence the following tape.
Objection. Grounds?
The tape will corroborate previous testimony.
I'd like to hear it.
Flashback. Celeste opens the mansion door to Christina.
Hi, Mama.
Is that all you have to say to me? What about I'm sorry? You never say no to me, Chris. What's going on with you? Where are you staying? At David's? With you girls. If you want any more of my money, you better get your butts home today.
We're not coming home, Mama.
What did I ever do? That was so wrong. Everything I've ever done has been for you girls. The jobs I worked, marrying Steve, it's all been just to give you a better life. Now, how can you abandon me like this?
I don't want to abandon you, Mama. But you're scaring me.
Oh. You know I need help, Christina. This trial is a little trickier than I thought.
What do you mean?
The judge listens intently.
What did you do, Mama?
Why don't you go make your mama another drink?
What did you do, Mama?
The police arrested Heather. I don't know what she's gonna say to him.
Is this about the check?
I wrote that check so Heather could hire someone to kill Tracy.
In the courtroom, a tear rolls down Christina's cheek. Later, the prosecutor addresses the jury.
A lot of people believe that the Bible says that money is the root of all evil. What the Bible actually says is that the love of money is the root of all evil. Celeste Beard loved money more than she loved anything or anyone. She may not have pulled the trigger, but she did orchestrate her own husband's murder. You must find Celeste Beard guilty.
Nick addresses the jury.
Celeste Beard is not a saint, but she is a caring person who picks up strays. Tracy Tarleton is a stray Celeste thought she could help. Celeste did not pull the trigger that killed Steve Beard. Tracy Tarleton shot Steve Beard in a fit of delusion and selfish fury, wanting to have Celeste to herself. She is the real perpetrator of this crime.
Later, the bailiff hands an envelope to the judge. She opens and reads it.
We, the jury, find the defendant, Celeste Beard, guilty of capital murder.
Celeste slumps into her chair.
That's all for today.
She turns and looks at her daughters.
You betray me like this! I'm your mother!
Christina weeps as the bailiff drags Celeste away. Celeste looks back at her daughters as she leaves the courtroom.
The sentence hearing begins tomorrow.
At the sentencing.
All I did was try to love you.
Christina's on the stand.
You say that we betrayed you. But I've done nothing but try to make you happy. I loved you. And Steve loved you. And you betrayed him. You said you wanted us to have a family and a nice life. We had that with Steve. You took all of that away. You shouldn't get to walk free in the world when Steve doesn't.
Tears roll down Celeste's face. Jennifer sits behind her, weeping. Becky and David place their hands on her shoulders. Later, Becky sits with Christina and Jennifer.
I really appreciate what you girls did. I know my dad would too. He really loved you.
Everything Christina said up there was true. Me really loved Steve.
Before Steve, I never had anyone who hugged me or told me they were proud of me. He was a really good dad.
I don't regret what I did, Jennifer. You did what you had to.
I'm so proud of you.
Christina and Jennifer leave the courtroom wearing the heart necklaces they got from Steve. Text: Celeste Beard was sentenced to life in prison. She is eligible for parole in 2042. Tracy Tarleton was sentenced to 20 years, reduced to 10, for her testimony against Celeste Beard. She was released in 2011. Christina and Jennifer Beard refused to have anything to do with their mother. Celeste still maintains her innocence. Starring Julie Benz as Celeste, Roan Curtis as Christina, Georgia Bradner as Jennifer, Eli Gabay as Steve, Justine Warrington as Tracy, Rob LaBelle as Nick Masters, Viv Leacock as Detective Rollins, and Laura Sadiq as Detective Gates. Music by Stephen Reddick, edited by Lisa Robeson, production designer Darren Luke Saskas, director of photography Dana Barnaby. Produced by Christian Briere. Supervising producers Don Knight and Michael Shepard. Co-executive producer Gigi Boyd. Executive producers Howard Bronstein and Barbara Lieberman. Teleplay by Donald Martin and Margot Froley, based on the book The Fortune Hunter by Susie Spencer. Directed by Robin Hayes. Copyright 2021, Fortune Hunter Films Incorporated. Lifetime.